Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the BriFi Podcast. I'm your host, BriFi, your comics guy, and it's the Thanksgiving Day edition. Well, it's not Thanksgiving Day, but it's the week of Thanksgiving, and I figured I would just have a quick little episode for you guys. Hopefully you enjoy it. Hopefully you're enjoying time with family or friends, being thankful for things. I don't know what you're doing. I don't really care. No, I'm just kidding. Hopefully you're having a good time. Hopefully you have some time off. That's the big thing. I remember when I used to work in a retail store whose name shall not be mentioned. Really, it was a bank, but it was a bank that operated as a retail store. Like, we worked every day, and we worked long hours, like, for a bank. Like, it's like 7 to 7 or something like that, and it sucked. And being open on like the day all the way up until like Thanksgiving and all the way up till like Christmas sucked ass, dude. And we worked weekends and stuff. Like, that sucked. I hated it so much. I worked at a fast food place. It was even worse because you still worked on those days, which was even worse. So I get it. It sucks. Hopefully you got some time off. I feel like more businesses have been better about letting employees have time off around these certain holidays, but who knows? It still sucks. The current job that I work now, shift work. So unfortunately, if you are scheduled to work that day, you got to work that day. There's no closing down the power plant just so you can have the day off, which kind of sucks, you know, maybe calling sick. But thankfully for me, the way my schedule worked out this year, I'm off for my two favorite holidays. Well, two of my three favorite holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas. So it's kind of wonderful for me. I happen to have my 7-day off streak during Thanksgiving. And I believe Christmas falls like in between two working weekends. But anyway, so lucky me, I guess. I just little humble brag there. Anyway, like I said, hopefully you're having a good holiday season and just getting to spend time with people that you care about and that care about you. But what are we going to talk about today? Well, we're going to talk about things that I'm thankful for, mostly Pokemon. No, I got a little bit of nifty nerd news for you guys. Just going to be real lo-fi episode, so no musical cuts. Just a quick intro because we're actually out of town. We're visiting my mother-in-law and father-in-law, or my wife's parents, however you want to call them, in Central Texas. So spending some time with them. So gonna have some fun and then come back down for the holidays to spend time with my family closer to Thanksgiving, because we're up, it's what, Monday that we're up here. It's I don't know what day you'll be listening to this, but I'm recording this on a Monday anyway. So yeah, we're doing that, but let's talk about some nifty nerd news. And the big nerd news that has been going on, or at least that's been just consuming everything in my feed lately, is that we're still not 100% sure who our new Reed Richards is going to be. However, it's for the most part seems like it's between two candidates. Is it going to be John Krasinski, who played him in Doctor Strange 2, which everyone seemed to have a very positive outlook on his performance as Doctor Strange? I really liked him. I think he has a really good look about him, and I think he can act. Like, I think he can do it. But people are not 100% on board with the John Krasinski train. The other name that's really been bouncing around and rumors has it's pretty much his role to turn down is Pedro Pascal. What am I doing? So apparently that's who the studio's eyeing. That's where a lot of the favoritism is, but a lot of people aren't 100% on board with this either, which is kind of crazy. I think either or works very well. I like the John Krasinski angle a lot more. I don't know, something about his look, and maybe it's because we got to already see him in character, so I'm already a little bit biased towards that, but Pedro Pascal can really, really act, but he's also going to command a lot of high dollar. Not saying John Krasinski won't either, but I think the other thing is John Krasinski directs and produces a lot, so trying to, because I would think with Marvel in their next phase, bringing in a Fantastic Four, they're looking for their next Tony Stark, so to speak. They're looking like maybe the Fantastic Four as a whole fills that role, but they're looking for their next iconic character to help transition Marvel through this phase. And unfortunately, this phase has been an absolute mess. Like, let's not kid ourselves here. Because, like, I've had rose-colored glasses. Like, I've been trying to deny how chaotic things have been with the new Marvel phase because I like a lot of the characters they're introducing. I want to believe in what Marvel's doing, but let's face it, things have just not maybe quite gotten out of hand, but they're definitely losing grasp on the storytelling aspect of this phase. But then again, you're like, everyone, the studio, us included, are trying to capture that lightning in the bottle that they did with the Thanos and Endgame and all that. Like, that was just chef's kiss perfection, you know, storytelling wise, combining all these stories to build up into these major events and have big events along the way. You know, they had like their sub bosses along the way till they got to their main boss in Thanos, you know, like it happened to just do, like, it worked so well. And now you have the expectation, now you have the, like, there's been a foundation, there's already been a blueprint in place. And I get it, Marvel wants to have the same success, but not just copy and paste with new characters the same story, so to speak. But they're really kind of flailing about. And I know there was a writer's strike, but that was like way after. You've had a bunch of movies. But like I said, there's like, on their own, a lot of these movies I like as because of the characters and I enjoy them and some of the shows. And so it's just, I don't know. I get it. I'm a bit frustrated. And then we know everything with Kang and Jonathan. The Kang Dynasty and Jonathan Majors is really falling out now due to his domestic assault allegations, and the studio's really trying to move away from that. And it's just, it hasn't been a great time to make mine Marvel, so to speak. DC is also doing a whole new rebranding thing. So right now, superhero, some people are saying, well, it's, you know, people are falling out of superheroes. Like, it's like the superhero slump, or people are tired of the superhero and the comic book movies and things like that. But I don't necessarily believe that's the case. I think the problem is DC is in this weird perpetual rebrand because they don't really know what they want to do. So it's hard to really grasp on to what DC's been doing here lately until, you know, James Gunn starts putting out his new stuff, which is what we're really waiting on with DC. But then the same goes for Marvel. Marvel just hasn't had a cohesive unit. I don't know, they've just been too sporadic and too not, what's the word I'm looking for? When you're like this, not the same. Well, yeah, like the same consistency. There you go. Like, Marvel hasn't been consistent, and DC just hasn't really started their new thing. And I feel like that's where we're at with superhero and comic book movies. And people are saying, well, that's superhero fatigue. Like, obviously, I don't think that's the case. I think once the studios get it together and start pushing for, like, pushing in a cohesive direction, then I think you'll see these movies starting to get popular again. But until then, we're just going to have to wait. And unfortunately, that kind of sucks. And they're still putting out stuff, even though they don't have the consistency and the cohesion yet. Anyway, one of the other things, though, like, so a movie that I've been kind of wanting to see is the new Marvels movie, because it has one of my favorite characters in it, Miss Marvel. And the actress who plays Miss Marvel, I can't remember her name, and I feel awful for not remembering it. She plays Kamala Khan, a.k.a. Miss Marvel. I love her. She said something really great in an interview, because people were asking, like, what do you do when your movie's not doing great? Like how do you react when your movie's not doing very well? And every report I've seen says the Marvels has just been an absolute tank job of a movie, which it's kind of unfortunate because I haven't seen it yet, but like I had not high hopes for it, but I really was hoping to enjoy that movie. And it seems like a lot of people didn't. But what she said in response to this was really mature, and I really enjoyed that, and I think she's got a bright future in movies. And she said, that's not really for me to worry about. I did my job in making the movie. That's really up to like the studio heads, like Bob Iger and all them, to really worry about the money aspect of it, which I like. That's true. She went out, she did her thing. She said, hey, I'm going to be Miss Marvel. I'm going to act to the best of my abilities. And that's my job. You know, she didn't write it. She didn't do any of this other stuff, but she sure acted in it. And so like, I kind of like that, you know, like, hey, I did my thing. I don't need to worry anymore, you know? And what's funny though, talking about writing, she's actually going to be writing the new Miss Marvel comic book, which I think is really cool, having the girl who plays Miss Marvel now writing stories about Miss Marvel, which is totally in character for her. Like, first off, if you know anything about Kamala Khan, like, and you read comic books, she is like a fan first. She is a fan of Marvel superheroes, but she lives in the world of Marvel superheroes. So she's a fan of her superheroes. Now, the actress, she is a fan of Marvel and Marvel superheroes. She knows all the like the lore and the trivia and stuff. So she's literally her own character in our world. And now she's going to be able to write herself basically in a comic book. And what's funny is that's something Kamala totally would do in character in the Marvel universe. So it's like this weird, crazy meta shit that's going on, which I think is phenomenal and like super exciting. And I don't know, it just has me really excited going forward for this, for her as an actress and for the character as a whole. Like, I feel like the people who are involved with Kamala Khan really care about her. She's probably been one of the favorites of the new characters created within the last 10 years. Wow, it's almost been longer. No, I think, 2014 was when Kamala came out? I can't remember exactly, but yeah, it's almost been like 10 years now that I think about it. Anyway, switching back to DC news, it looks like they have their new Lex Luthor in Nicholas Holt. Nicholas Holt, who I remember as being, was he Beast in the X-Men movies? Yeah, and he's done some other things that I don't really care about. He's going to be Lex Luthor, and I totally see it. He has a weird vibe to him, like a creepy vibe, but like kind of handsome, but kind of creepy, really smart looking, but also really like villainous in a way. I feel like he really fits the character, and I think he would do a really good job as Lex Luthor. I wonder if they're going to shave his head. That's the other thing. I mean, he went blue. No, oh, that was CGI. Maybe they could just CGI his hair away. Who knows? Anyway, pretty cool stuff. But that's pretty much it for the Nifty Nerd news that I wanted to talk about this week. And last thing I wanted to wrap things up with, of course, I'm huge into Pokemon, so I wanted to save the best for no. But I'm super stoked because a new Pokemon card set has been announced and is just about to be released in Japan and will soon be released in English next year. But it's called Paldea Fates is the new set. And so if you play trading card games or anything like that, like Magic the Gathering, Yu-Gi-Oh!, One Piece, there's probably plenty of others. Actually, there's a Disney one now, too, that everyone's been pretty hyped on. But anyway, they will release sets of cards every couple of months or whatever. And it's a great way to, one, get new people in. If you're a collector, it's to collect new cards and things like that. And with the Scarlet and Violet 151 set, which came out in like October or late September, I got like 100% full back in to Pokemon card collecting. And now I am addicted. Now, I told myself, hey, you know, I got the master set of this collection. Like, I've collected every card that I need to for the Pokemon 151 set. and I'm happy. I'm done. I'm finished. And I was like, I'm not going to, I might buy a pack here or there, but we'll see. Well, that we'll see has happened. So one, I found out about the Pokemon Go trading card set that was released last year, but you can still find in like Walmart and other places. And there's a lot of cool cards that I like from that set. Plus, it has a really cool Pokemon Go stamp on the cards, which I really like. So now, and it's a smaller set and it's not as expensive. So it's kind of like my other reason for collecting it. But they announced a set called Paldea Fates, which is the shiny set. So if you play the Pokemon games, you know there's a chance that you can catch a shiny version of a Pokemon. Well, they do that for trading cards as well, but typically they fall under a certain set. I think Shiny Fates was one. There's another Fates. That was another. They usually have Fates in the title from what I can tell. And so the new shiny set called Paldea Fates is going to be the Scarlet and Violet shiny version of the new Pokemon card set. It's already coming out in Japan December 1st, and we've seen some of the cards from there, from Shiny Mew to the three starters, Coaxly, Fuecoco, and Sprigatito, and to just a bunch of other cards. And there's still some cards that haven't been released yet that we don't know what look like yet. So pretty excited for that. The American English set doesn't come out until mid-January, so I got a while to wait unless I want to collect Japanese cards. But I like to be able to read the cards, so I'm not big into collecting Japanese versions. Not saying they're not cool and that I wouldn't buy any, but I'm just, for me personally, that's not what I'm looking to collect. I want to collect the English versions. So I'm waiting until January. But until January rolls around, I'm kind of playing around buying the Pokemon Go card sets and really enjoying that and having fun with that. I'm thinking about master setting this one as well. Like I said, these cards are way cheaper. I think the most expensive card in the set is maybe $30. And there's only like at most 10 cards that are at the $10 mark. Everything else is under $10. And most of it's under a dollar. So way more attainable versus like Pokemon 151, where the Charizard special illustration rare was $160 all on its own. And then like the next like 10 cards were all 40, like in the range of $60 to $45. So yeah, that was a very expensive set for me to collect, but I'm happy that I did it. Like, I'm excited that I did it and that I was able to push through. My bank account might not be, but me personally am. But yeah, that's it, guys. That's all I wanted to talk about for this week. Hopefully you stuck around till the end. Once again, enjoy your holidays, enjoy your Thanksgiving. I might be taking a break in December just to spend time with family and things like that. I haven't fully decided yet, but I'll let you know by the next episode that I record on what we're going to do as far as for the rest of the year with the podcast. But that's all that I got for you guys this week. Thank you once again. Love you guys. And we will see y'all next time. Bri-Fi out.